This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more.
You know who came in handy over our wedding weekend? DoorDash. We were in Savannah getting married, beautiful weekend, but obviously with a baby and a lot going on with planning a wedding, there was a lot of little things we forgot, like batteries. Also, we had a little late night party with some friends, DoorDash some alcohol. It was amazing, you know, when you're, especially when you're in a city that you're not from, well, now he's familiar with Savannah, but you don't have all the convenience of travel and things like that. There is nothing better than having DoorDash by your side to send out and have whatever you need basically delivered right to your door, whether it's food, whether it's snacks, whether it's batteries, whether it's alcohol. DoorDash has you covered.
One of my favorite things about DoorDash is when you are leaving somewhere and you're so hungry and you're like, okay, I'm going to order DoorDash. And by the time I get home,
boom,
it's at the door.
I'm ready.
Hot
it's
and ready.
So good. So whether you're sick at home, you need to restock alcohol for that party, or you just need some essentials that you just don't feel like going out late at night, DoorDash has you covered. DoorDash, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to get almost anything delivered. Must be 21 years or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're crazy.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files. I'm your host, Nick, joined by Rochelle. How you doing, Rochelle?
You know, I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there. Well, that's all we really can do. We have a great episode for you. My friend Raja Kumari, who is a very talented songwriter, singer, rapper. I had the pleasure of meeting and working with Raja when we hosted the AMA's red carpet not too long ago. And she just has such a fascinating background with her music. You know, born in LA, lives in India part of the year, a strong Indian history, and kind of we have this great conversation about music and just kind of being kind of melting pot of cultures and you know, tap into different religious kind of belief systems, but just really fascinating. And I always enjoy conversations with people who you know, bring different points of view to the table and just create interesting conversations. So, so fascinating to speak with Raja. And again, just an incredibly talented musician who I think has only become more and more mainstream. So it's,
yeah, she just signed really with Nas.
Just signed with Nas. She's been like working with Timberland. Like this, she's super legit. Like, and when I worked with her at the AMAs, like here I am, just kind of this reality TV guy talking musicians, and they're like coming up to her and like Fall Out Boy's like, "Oh, what's up, Raja?" And I'm like, "Hey, dude, what's up?" And so, yeah, she's very well respected in the music industry, and I know a lot of my friends who are much more knowledgeable about music who found out that we knew each other were like, "Oh, how do you know Raja?" So. She's very talented, but also just a really unique, you know, point of view on just life and culture and what it's like to grow up in an Indian family in LA and have strong Indian roots, but also be around, you know, Americans and just really fascinating. So, we really appreciate her having her. So, all right, let's do it. Thanks for listening, guys. Obviously, sending your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. Always appreciate your reviews on iTunes and sharing us on social. So, without further ado, Raja Kumari. How's it going, Raja? How you doing?
It's good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Yes, it's been like a really crazy whirlwind since I've seen you too, actually. It's just
The world's literally changed. I met Raja when she was my you were my co-host. We were teamed up for the red carpet for the AMAs.
Yeah, we had a good time. That was so crazy. I think the one thing I didn't know about doing live television like that, and you helped me through it, is that they're going to constantly talk to you. You have to also listen to other people talking to someone else and hold a conversation with Diplo in person. So it was like, whoa, this is a lot.
I, You did better than I did. I mean, that was my first time doing it.
Both of our first time. We learned from each other. I had fun though. It was good.
It was a great time. I appreciate them hiring me. It was a lot of fun. Obviously, you're in the music industry, so like, I felt like you were really carrying me with, like, you know, Fall Out Boy comes and you're like, hey, what's up, guys? And Diplo's like, hey, how's it going? You know, Raja. And they're just like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, just like standing there interviewing. That was a lot of fun. But it was really, really cool to get to know you. And we became quick friends doing it. And, you know, since then, it's funny because, you know, I didn't know who you were at the time. I'm not the most intelligent music person. I'm just not. Like, if, you know, I'm a top 40 guy just because I'm stupid when it comes to that. But like, since I've gotten to know you and put posted pics with you, I've had a ton of my friends reach out, be like, oh my God, how do you know Raja? She creates the most insane, dopest music. So I was like, yeah, I felt really cool. You know, I was like, oh yeah, we go way back. Like, you know, totally. Like I discovered her, you know, like I'm super like,
I taught her to sing, you know, I told her her name. It's all good.
But, it was just talking to you a little bit, like when we were on the red carpet, I thought it was just kind of fascinating, and I thought it'd be cool to learn more about you. It's just that you have such a kind of an interesting background. You're obviously this kind of pop rock star. I don't even know how you would describe yourself, but like you're multi-talented, multifaceted in the music industry, and then here you are, this, you know, young woman who born in California. Strong Indian roots, right? You've become this, you know, superstar in India. You're living in India for a big part of the year, but like you're still like, you know, you're a California girl, and like a lot of your music is kind of about this kind of in between two worlds personality. And I gotta wonder if, like, you know, how has that played an impact on your life, and how do you feel like that's like, in terms of like kind of being inspiration to like anyone who feels out of touch. I mean, here I am. I'm just a white kid from Wisconsin. I fit right in there, you know, like I never felt out of place, you know? And I wonder like, how has that been for you? And has that been kind of inspirational to the stuff that you've been doing?
I mean, first I'm really glad that even though you never felt out of place, that the music was provocative enough for you to like consider another perspective, which I think is like part of it. I mean, for me, the new single I just put out, NRI, is like probably the most like blatant like discussion of this subject. You know, I always kind of like code it in the music, or it's mostly like in my interviews or my visuals, but I really went for it in the lyrics. Like there's like, sorry that my sorry ain't Indian enough and America don't love me because I'm Indian AF, you know, so which was like a very aggressive thing to say. And, you know, when I wrote the song, I wasn't even planning on releasing it. I wasn't like, this will be my first single when Nas signs me or anything like that. It was just, I'm going to, you know, write this because I'm suffering from this experience. And I feel like I can't say anything, because every time I used to talk back in the comments, you know, obviously, you know about this, there's no point trying to defend yourself in comments on Instagram or anywhere. So I guess this was kind of like my rebuttal for that. But it was, I mean, there's good and bad things. Like, I think when I'm in India, I'm so like thankful for growing up in America. Whether I felt out of place at some times, it gave me that American kind of like idealism, that like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, anything is possible. The American dream is possible for anyone that works hard. You know, that was ingrained in us, you know, and that everyone, you know, not really judging by like the current scenario or what's been going on pre-COVID, BC before Corona, or like, you know, what's going on. But, you know, it's just, it was interesting to grow up not seeing anyone like myself. You know, I always tell my friends in India that they're really lucky that they grew up with magazines that had people that looked like them, or like the commercials on TV, the moms looked like their mom. You know, or like it looked like them and there's food, or like their, you know, the biggest holiday is Diwali. Now people know about it because The Office did an episode, and like, you know, people have started talking about it. But imagine growing up with like something that is as important as Christmas, but like, one, there's no day off. Two, everyone thinks it's like a fake holiday. You know, it's like that kind of stuff was really, I think it made me strong as a kid, because it was something that I really loved, you know, where I came from and my family. And I thought the colors were fun. You know, I thought like everything was so interesting. So why would I leave it behind for something that I didn't think was as colorful? You know, so I'm glad that America kind of made me that way, because I know that there are people all over the world, whether they're Indian or not. Like, I've gotten more messages from people who are not Indian after this song saying that they relate to it. So it's being from two worlds is definitely a struggle, but I think speaking about it and like being just like, just saying it out loud is a lot of work in the right direction, you know, because I don't think anyone would even put the word Indian in their song. And I just was like, I'm Indian AF, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, we had Fortune Feimster on a while back, and she talked about the importance of representation in general, you know, her coming out as a lesbian and how representation matters. And again, I think that's something that's often lost on people who, you know, identify with mainstream culture, right? We take that for granted. You know, I grew up, you know, Christmas, you know, Easter, you know, and it's just like, yeah.
We did both of those, though. We had Hindu Christmas and Hindu Easter. We did it.
Sure. But I've never appreciated, I think, until like getting to meet people who identify with a minority group, whatever that's their ethnicity, whether it's their sexuality, whatever, you know, and then what that might be like. You know, did you ever feel like growing up, I mean, you have a great perspective on it now, but were there ever times where you felt like afraid to put out who you were, right? Did you hold back who you were? And when you say like other people who aren't Indian are relating, I'm assuming that's why, because like being able to identify with feeling like an outsider is a very common thing. It doesn't matter why you feel like an outsider, but a lot of people do. And I'm just wondering, like, did you ever struggle with that, and what helped you kind of get the confidence to be where you're at now?
Yeah, I mean, I think every kid feels like that. Whether it's like, you know, I think everybody has that experience. But for me, I guess it was a little bit different because I'm an Indian classical dancer. So I did a lot of touring as a child. So like in Indian classical dance, we do like all these hand movements. So we paint our hands red and we do the henna. So like I used to tour a lot. And so like when I'd come home for the shows, it'd be like fading. So like I would have to explain, like, they think it's like a hand disease, or like, you know, I had to like really wear my culture a lot in a lot of ways. So there was definitely like, I had two lives. Like there was one life where I was like this super celebrated classical dancer, child prodigy. So it's like, I'm not allowed to not be proud of that. You know, I'm like touring and like the governors are giving me awards in India. So it's like, we're not allowed to pretend that that is not legit, you know? And then I come back to America and then I found myself wanting to hide those things because like even like the Indian boy in my class was like in love with the blonde hair, blue eyed girl. So it was like there was no like place for me. I didn't know where I belonged or like how to feel beautiful. But I'm, you know, I definitely dyed my hair. I definitely wanted blonde hair for some weird reason, even though that would never look good on my skin. I did. I dyed streaks. I didn't do. And then my school actually, now that I'm thinking about this, I remember my girlfriend, my best friend, she was a Italian girl. She had gotten blonde streaks and I went with her and I also did it. And the school made me put my hair back because they said it wasn't natural. Yeah, actually, I remember that now. I forgot about that. But yeah, things like that would happen.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, but I think at some point I just, because the love for the dance was so intense and because I knew that it was so well respected and celebrated, I wasn't allowed to call it lame or I wasn't allowed to like throw it to the side. And at some point I was just like, you know, if this is a thing that makes me love my culture, makes me love myself, gives me confidence, I wish more people would dance Indian classical dance. So it was like this really simple idea, like, okay, why is no one, I can only get to like an audience of 400 or 1,000, let's say, on a really great day. You know, but these pop stars that I'm worshiping, you know, in American pop culture are affecting millions of people in one appearance. And I was like, man, what kind of platform is that? Oh, pop music. I was like, oh, maybe I should make pop music and somehow put Indian classical dance there and like make, we need an Indian pop star. And if we have an Indian pop star, then maybe some little girls who didn't have their connection to India will still love themselves. You know, maybe they didn't have that out that I had, you know, but that's just been the goal. So it's definitely been like that for life. But luckily I God has given me all the tools to deal with it and help me be fearless in my music. And I know it's affecting the kids. So I'm glad, because I know the future, these little Indian girls are going to be fine. They can be okay.
Magic spoon. Well, I got to tell you, growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. I truly loved it. It was an epic moment every morning when I would have cereal and fight it with my 100 other siblings. But I'll tell you what, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and I realized that basically I can't eat anything anymore. And so that required me to try to limit my cereal intake. But then I discovered Magic Spoon.
I've been eating so much Magic Spoon since I've been stuck in my apartment. Like, cereal brings me back to the good old days, you know?
I love cereal. And I'll tell you what, a little bit about Magic Spoon. Delicious, one. 0 grams of sugar, two. Only 3 grams of carbs, three. And it also has protein in it, so I get my gains. So that's a win.
Yeah, my favorite is the fruity one because it reminds me of my favorite cereal.
Right here. Fruity. It's great. So if you love cereal like me and you don't want to feel guilty about having a bunch of sugar and a bunch of carbs, try Magic Spoon. So go to magicspoon.com/VIALL to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code VIALL at checkout for free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason whatsoever, they will refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/VIALL and use the code VIALL for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. Embark. If you have a furry canine at home, now's a good time to really get to know them. And what I mean by is stop just, calling them a mutt. Or pretending that you know they're a purebred. Or maybe you're just not sure how old your dog is because you were a wonderful, kind person who rescued a dog. Maybe you just rescued a dog during quarantine because you wanted to make sure all the furry creatures were safe. And maybe you want to get to know them a little better. Embark is the perfect thing for you to do that. It's your dog DNA test kit. You find out so much information about your dog, their age, their breed, facts about their history. And it's a great way to be proactive in their healthcare. Just like with us, the more you know up front, the better chance you have to treat any ailments they might have.
And as you guys know, our executive producer, Dustin, used Embark on his dog, Bubby, and found out that he was a 100% Beagle. And what he loved about it is he took all the information that Embark sent him and took it to his vet. So his vet knew how to treat Bubby even better than before because it turns out he's pretty old.
My friends love it. They've done it on a bunch of their dogs. They feel like they're no longer pretending to know about their dog. Now they know and they learned a ton. Yeah. Like, maybe they're a mix. They didn't realize you don't always get the information you expect to get from a breeder. And again, if you rescue your dog, God only knows who they are. So great to find out about them. So right now, Embark has an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Go to embarkvet.com and use promo code VIALL to save 15% off your dog breed and health kit. Visit embarkvet.com and use promo code VIALL to save 15% today. Embarkvet.com and use promo code VIALL. Do you feel like kind of Indian culture is one of the more kind of unrepresented kind of cultures out there, especially in America?
Yes. Yes. We like,
why do you think that is? I mean, I've had Indian friends growing up. I've been to a couple Indian weddings. Awesome, by the way, some of the most fun weddings you can go to. But I've always, you'll hear that from them where they it seems really, really unrepresented.
Well, I mean, first off, we're less than 1% of the population in America. So you're going against something. Like, I mean, we are 1/7 of the population of the world. 1 out of every 7 people is Indian. So, like, you definitely know someone because there's 7 billion. We have 1.4 billion. So a lot of people are here, But I think in America, we're only like, 200, how many years? 206, I don't do good math.
Between 200 and 300.
Yeah, somewhere. We're like around, that was better. 1774. I did know that though, so you guys are getting mad at me. But yeah, around 300 years. I mean, there's houses that are older than that in the UK, right? So Indians have been going to London for so many years that they're like fourth generation. So like it's more part of the culture. You know, you see Indians in the magazines, you see them on TV, you see TV shows that are about Indian people, families, like a full family unit that's Indian. And, you know, you have a BBC Asian network. Now, this is because we're at the third, fourth generation. Now, I'm a first generation born in America. My parents came in the 70s because there was actually a law prior to that that banned immigration from Asia, like South Asia and Asia. And it was lifted in the 70s, like late 60s, early 70s. And basically there was like a calling out for all the engineers, doctors, highly leveled, like those kinds of people. So my dad was he was like the number one in his class and was really a well-trained doctor. Also, he came from nothing. He was extremely poor, and then he basically was number one in his class, so he got a scholarship and was able to study. So because of this, in the 70s, there's this whole wave of people, doctors, engineers, like those kind of educated people that came to America. So they had their kids, and now that's us. So I'm saying maybe by now we have shows like Never Have I Ever on Netflix that just premiered, that's like full Indian cast. Which is crazy because usually you'll just see one Indian person and they're a nerd or they work at the Swishy Mart or, you know, they're usually a nerd, like on Big Bang Theory. But they never let two Indians kind of be together. Like if you'd see like on Priyanka Chopra on what was the show? Oh my God, I'm horrible right now. Quantico. Boom. Got it.
Quantico. Yeah, I did a commercial with her.
You know, she was on like, you know, buses and stuff. And it was the first time we'd ever seen that. But even in that show, she was half white. Her dad was American. And she's only connected with American people. So it's like they never like have that in the West yet. I mean, in America yet. But I believe the work that we are all doing is going to change that. And by we, I mean like the brown renaissance. Hasan Minhaj, Aziz Ansari, Mindy Kaling, me, Purna, you know, everybody, the musicians, like, you know, Nav is an Indian musician. I mean, just by existing, we're changing that, you know. So I think, you know, when I grew up, you know, obviously we don't have any box to check. It's just like other. So like, I'm like hoping that like South Asian comes up soon. And then, you know, we get to like, I think the only way we're going to change those things is by becoming more prominent in culture.
Can you write a song called Being an Other? And like, what that, could you imagine? Like, I couldn't imagine. I mean, not that like Caucasian's that specific, but like, other, I'm an other.
Like not even, they had all kinds of like, I used to always think, am I supposed to put Pacific Asian Islander? It says Asian. And they're like, no, that's not you. That's not you. So I was like, I can't.
You're an other.
Yeah, I've been other this whole time. So that's, you know, that's something that I think when that evolves, you know, I would love to see Indians play different types of roles. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm playing a role that's different. I'm not a doctor on CNN telling you something. I'm like a rapper. So I'm changing the roles too as it goes.
Yeah, would you consider yourself more of a pop star or more of a rapper?
I don't know. I guess they keep telling me I'm a rapper, so I keep rapping. And then I just signed to Nas, so I guess I'm a rapper. But
hell yeah.
I think pop star to me, I guess, is the whole other half of it. Like the production, like right now I'm in a very rare form, but like, you know, this has been me in quarantine. This is quarantine version, but
pop star is kind of like the melting pot of it all. You can be a country singer and a pop star, you can be a rapper and a pop star. Like, you can't be a pop star and then, you know, like, you can just be a pop star too, but like, you have some,
but that's different, you know. That's like I know exactly what you mean by that. Yeah, I'm definitely a pop star for India, because they don't have anyone like me. And I do pull up and there's people carrying my cape behind me because we don't want it to drag. So I think that's the characteristic of a pop star. If someone has to carry a piece of your clothing, then you're like, okay.
So in terms of like writing your music or developing your music, what are some of been your like favorite musicians and inspirations in terms of like, what do you think? Yeah. Like if you were to look back, like, well, who do you think you really kind of modeled your work after, and how much has been kind of a melting pot from your Indian culture versus like what we've heard here in the States?
Yeah. You know, I think the Indian culture is just like the foundation. Cause I think like when I started as an artist, like as a classical Indian dancer, I learned about music through that. So I would tour with like an orchestra with like six instruments. So I had a very intimate relationship with like drums and hearing flute instruments and strings, and and dancing and using my body as a drum. So I feel like that's where the rapping came from. It's let me demonstrate something. So like in Indian classical music, we have these things called thals. They're jatis. And so they're like rhythms. They don't mean anything. They just have, they symbolize like the footwork or the patterns, whether it's like, okay, like takita, takita, taka, takita, takita, taka. That's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. So my feet work would go like, that's if I was dancing. So they have these things that are like this. Okay. So I would learn these. And so I realized very early, because I was really obsessed with like ancient, you know, history and stuff, and African culture and tribal culture. And I think the first time I really heard rap music, like when it really got me, like I'd heard whatever was pop culture, but I think Lauryn Hill was the first one that like affected me in my soul, like 100%, rewired me. Yeah, she gave me full guidance. I mean, one day I'll meet her and I'll explain to her, you know, what she did for me, you know, be my musical mother. But she just gave me this, like, I felt accepted, you know, talking about being other. I didn't feel like an other when I listened to the Fugees, because it was like somehow all of the rhythms made sense for me. Like everything I had learned as a classical dancer somehow still fit in rap. And I felt like hip hop would be like this language that I could express myself. It wasn't of my parents' era. It wasn't what my brothers liked. They were like into punk rock and like heavy metal. And it was like this thing that was just mine, you know? So I started figuring out that classical music worked like rap. So demonstration, it's from one of my songs. Of the king. How long you think that you could keep up with my tempo? Dance to the rhythm, dance in the Himalay. Ain't hearing what they say. Dinner, heart beating like the bass. Heart beating like the bass. Heart beating like the dalang gutaka dikutaka tadingina tom dhakita taka jim. Dalang gutaka dikutaka tadingina tom. Dance to the rhythm, dance in the Himalay. Ain't hearing what they say. Dinner, heart beating like the bass.
Raja, I can't even pronounce my SHs very well, and you're just all like, you're all just like dropping some mad, that's very good. You're very talented.
But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I've kind of like unlocked that. And for some reason, I thought that was like a superpower kind of thing. I was like, oh, I figured out something no one else knows, is that we've been rapping for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So there was just something like that connected for me. And I stopped having to be like, I don't belong here. Or I need to be like someone else. It was like, no, you need to be an Indian superhero pop star.
Like, that's very cool. I mean, it's always kind of fascinating when we kind of like go back to our roots and kind of discover things about ourselves, and kind of gives us the confidence to embrace certain things that maybe we pushed away or didn't embrace in the past. So that's pretty cool. And like I said, it's really neat how kind of inspirational I'm sure you are to all people, and specifically obviously young Indian people. It's fascinating. How does that kind of affect your own personal life, in terms of, you mentioned, growing up, even the Indian boys, like the blonde hair, blue eyed girl.
Things have changed, like, baby. Things have changed.
Yeah. Now that you are out there, I don't know what your relationship status is. Are you dating someone, single? Do you feel a pressure, being kind of this person of like, ending up with an Indian man, or versus like a total white boy? Or like, do you feel any pressure in terms of your fans and what that's like?
Oh, I feel 100% pressure from my parents. That's like a hard press. Like, they're like on it. They think I'm 12 years overdue for my marriage. So that's how they feel. So they feel like basically until I get married, then like once I get married, my dad will retire. That's how he feels.
His job will be done.
You know, I've been in America for a long time. I have friends from all different types of cultures and things. And I don't know, I'm not saying that you'd have to be Indian, you know? I think people, if somebody was able to like be there for me in the way that I need, but I think I am slightly obsessed with maintaining culture and preserving it. For the future, because I think a lot of people are not preserving it, and I want to make sure that it keeps going. So I think that might be easier with an Indian husband, but who knows? I could get a white husband that's like, I have a PhD in Sanskrit, and then like they know more than me, because like my first teacher in college was a white guy named Brian, and I was like, how does he know more than me about ancient Indian history? And I was like, I have to change my major. So I mean, I'm open to anything right now, but I definitely, I mean, I feel like I want to live in, it's gonna be hard to marry me unless you like kind of are in India, because I want to be in India half the year. And you know, unless you want Nick Jonas, I mean, hey, if there's like a Nick Jonas number two out there that wants to pull up on the world tour,
The other Jonas Brothers are
all taken, the Jonas, right? Brothers are married. We're done with the Jonases, but you know,
yeah,
just saying, same kind of vibe.
Yeah, that's gotta be tough to have that. You know, I appreciate the pressure you might feel, and like it sounds like it's more of a, sounds like it's more something you've put on yourself and less of from a fan standpoint.
Oh God, this is therapy. Are you ready? Yeah, it is. It is definitely. No, it's definitely, you know, I think I'm just ready. You know, it's so funny. Like now we're in this post-corona world. I read this article and it was like, we're not going to have festivals till October 2022. Maybe they were saying possibly. Wow. And so I'm coming off of doing festivals with 25,000 people in the middle of Arunachal Pradesh, like that only came to see me in the middle of India. So it's like, I'm coming off of the biggest crowds I've ever done. And then to think that I'm not going to see them again for 2 years makes me feel like I should get married and have a baby right now. And then I'll be done. And then I can go back to work in 2 years.
Crazy how women have to think. Yeah.
I need a husband.
Yeah.
Whoever wants to make that happen.
Grubhub. Well, people, obviously we're staying at home. Obviously, we wanted to stay at home as much as we can, and we still got to eat. So, Grubhub it, you know, and obviously, what a great opportunity to support your local restaurants and get delicious food safely. And Grubhub is making that happen. And honestly, I just like it because I'm often lazy, especially if, you know, the more sitting around I do, the lazier I get. And there's nothing better than going on the Grubhub app, looking up some delicious food, pressing a couple buttons. Moments later, reasonably, delicious food shows up at my door. It's touchless, it's safe, and then I feel good about supporting my local restaurants. Grubhub helps you enjoy your favorite restaurants with new perks and exclusive awards. You get a $10 perk every time you order, available all day, every day at selected restaurants. So obviously, just stay safe, stay inside, support your local restaurants with curbside pickup and contact-free delivery on Grubhub. Just for our listeners, if you download the Grubhub app, new diners will get a $10 perk. That's $10 off any delivery of $15 or more. So download the Grubhub app today and enjoy the restaurants you love delivered. How are you? How are you? I mean, are you like, so, but in all seriousness, are you like, do you DM guys? How do you online date?
Try to get on the dating like apps. Like I've tried to do this thing. It's kind of been troubling. One, I put like pictures that are not pop star version, but then eventually, like when I was in India, eventually they'd be like, this is you, or this is a catfish page. And then one guy, he recognized me. He was like, I saw you in San Francisco. And I was like, cancel, abort. And then my parents were kind of like getting me, they want me to be on this like millionaire matchmaker type thing.
Oh no.
But I mean, like I'm actually, cause like if I'm already trying a like online dating, then what's the difference? Because at least these guys will be aware of what I do in my career. We don't have to lie to them. Then they can judge on their own, because a lot of Indian men are like patriarchal to the T. And like one of the things that happens a lot in Indian culture is that the man will marry the woman and then they want them to stop working. They'll be like, oh, that's great. You did. That was, I liked you because of this, but now you're done. So sit down. You know, that's what happens in a lot of horror stories. So that's like the thing I always tell my parents. I'm like, I'm not going to sit down, you know? So this person has to have like, you know, see everything and decide, you know, if they're okay with that. Because Indian people are crazy. My parents will call me and be like, you posted one picture about 2 weeks ago and your shirt is very low. And I'd like you to remove that photo. And I was like, Dad, I'm signed to a major label in America, Dad, please. Yeah. Just if I give the, I didn't, I had pants on, right? I didn't have a skirt. I'm like, you got to give up one thing. And so my new video, I have like a turtleneck, a sari, but there's a thigh slit. And saris don't have thigh slits. Like we're like being ridiculous and like remixing it in the way that like upsets some people. Because it's like my whole leg is out. So like he only saw clips of the top. So they didn't have to see in the video. And then I get this call after it premiered and they're like, I know why you didn't show me the video before it premiered. And I was like, Dad, I'm wearing a turtleneck. You promised we have an exchange. Turtleneck means I get the leg, you know? So this is a struggle that no one thinks about.
I have a friend, Indian, and we did some comedy stuff together already in a class I did. And he kind of talked about, you know, the arranged marriage aspect that his parents are, you know, kind of almost still pressure. Is that a thing?
My parents met for like seven minutes and got married. So like it happened for them, but they're like extremely happy. Like they're like probably the success story of arranged marriages. How it works now is kind of like the matchmaker thing. So it's basically like the parents will talk to each other. They'll decide that they like each other. So he's like a pre-approved boy that I don't have to go through bullshit with later. And then I meet him and I can date him and I can decide. That's a modern arranged marriage. It's like a pre-approved boy.
But you like, they try to set you up, but it's still your call.
Yeah, it's still your call. I mean, in the modern way, there are definitely arranged marriages happening in the villages in India with no, you know, the girl is just... In Indian marriages, you get married, you put your hand on each other's head like this. It's like this thing where you become one in the moment. And there's a piece of fabric between you, okay, in the olden days. So you would do this, and then they would pull the fabric out and you'd look at your husband for the first time. Like, that's how Indians get married.
Wow. Why do you think your parents...
First you get married, then you fall in love. That is how they say it.
That's wild. Why do you think your parents have been the success story that they have? Like, what's worked for them? Because, like, obviously... It's kind of this crazy thing, very unrelatable, obviously, to American culture, but there's got to be, you know, listen, there's pros and cons to almost anything, right? And so I'm curious, like, what are some things based off of that have allowed your parents' relationship to flourish? Or did they just get super lucky?
No, I mean, one, they're lucky, but two, I think that it's like a generational difference. I feel like my dad was 25 when he married my mom, 25, she was 22. No, 26 and 22. So, and for her, she was old, by the way. She was the oldest of her sisters when by the time she got married at 22. They had gotten married like 17, 19, 20, you know, and that was in the 70s, like the 60s, they were doing that, right? I think that I wonder now, I struggle with this, like as I try to like get into a relationship that I'm looking for that I'll like actually get married from, you know, is like, does marriage mean the same thing anymore? I think like, when my parents got married, there was no internet. There was no options constantly. There was no DMs. There was no like outside perspective. Also, there's like this like respect for marriage that was like installed. And then they just had each other. Like they got married in the 20s and then they like went to America alone. So my dad had a job in Chicago. And so my mom went from India to the coldest winter on record in Chicago. And they just had each other. And she told me she didn't quite enjoy her first year of marriage, but then after that, I mean, like, they're, like, obsessed with each other. But I think it's just kind of, like, making a decision and sticking with it. And I don't know if that's, like, in our culture anymore. Like, not our Indian, in our culture, in our, like, in the 2000s vibe. Like, I don't know. I would hope that could be that way, but I don't know.
Yeah, you make a great point. And honestly, I think about it and I'm on the fence too, right? Like I grew up in a very traditional family and I love I've said this before. I love my family. I loved my childhood. I love the values and the Christian values that my parents raised me on that I still hold dear to my heart, you know. And you know, now with me too, it's just like I kind of say like I know I still very much want to be a father. You know, I really want to have a kid and I want to have a family and I want to fall in love. But the marriage in the traditional sense for me is not, that's not at the top of the list. Like I'm down. I would like to get married. But I'm simply just saying that like if I fell in love with a woman that, you know, had non-traditional points of view on marriage and it was like, that would be like, okay, like whatever, you know, whatever makes you happy.
There's no room for that in my life. I'll basically be canceled from my family if I don't get married in the next few years. Like,
wait, seriously? Even with all of your success?
Well, my success is nothing.
Nothing?
Is nothing.
Do you, with your parent? Do your parents not necessarily?
They'll just be like, yeah, that's great. But you know, your eggs, there's only so many left, you know?
Like part of me is like, why do you, like if you get to a certain point of like success and independence, like do you still care so much what they
because think? I think that's how our culture is. We're like very like we don't in our in Indian culture, like your parents live with you, like, you know, like not now, but like when they're older, like if it was only your mom left, she would live with you. You don't like, you don't put your parents away and stuff like that. And like, it's just like very much involved. Like until I'm married, I'm a kid. I'm a child until it's so weird because it's so patriarchy, but it's like until my dad passes the responsibility to another man he thinks can handle it, then he'll chill.
Wow.
It's called Kanyadan. We literally like, he does this thing where he like gives the, like he gives an offering and then the bride is brought in a basket. Let's not even get into it. The bride is brought in a basket carrying a coconut. We're not going to get into the details of how ridiculous some of this stuff is, but
so like you said, it's obviously very patriarchy. Like, are you like, I'm just thinking out loud here. Do you consider yourself a feminist?
Well, I mean, I think so. I think anybody that believes women should have equal rights is a feminist. So most men I know are also feminists, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just kind of curious. Like, it's a fascinating to hear you talk about like this allegiance and loyalty and understanding, which again, I think is great, to your culture and past. And like, again, it really kind of goes along with what you're all about in terms of finding the balance between your history and like kind of progress, right? Mixing your American culture with your Indian culture, finding the good things that come from things about your past, but also not being pressured and shamed into doing things that you're not comfortable
with. Yeah, like my parents didn't keep all like the horrible things. They kept just the best things, you know, and how they raised us. And I told my dad the other day that he raised me like a man, like in the ways that he let me do whatever I wanted and follow my passion. And he was like, I didn't realize I had done that. I was like, yeah, you did not raise me like an Indian girl. Because in like some, like even in cousins, like other houses, like other families amongst my extended family, I remember like the boys got rollerblades, but the girl couldn't. Like that happened in like our own families in America. And that never happened to me. I was out there. I mean, they didn't let me do like a lot of sports. One, because they don't like to let girls go in the sun, which is another effed up thing that comes from Indian culture about the dark thing. So, and the other one was that I was a classical dancer, so they were always worried I was going to break a bone. So they were just like, nope, you stay inside and dance. That's it. Dance all day, girl, you know?
Wait, they don't want you to go in the sun because they don't want you to get tan and be too dark?
Yeah, like I could only go to Raging Waters, which is a water park. I think I was only allowed to go like two times in the summer, and my friends would have like the season pass. My mom would be like, nope, too dark. Can't go back out.
Wow.
It's not like a thing that like she hates. It's just that like India has made these like the patriarchal things you're asking, like, oh, to be such a strong feminist like icon in some ways in India, and then be like, I just want to be as like a pativrat, which is like a subservient wife. But I don't know, I guess some of that stuff kind of is in me. Like, I do want to be like that, like a good wife, and I definitely want kids. And
Yeah, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I love balance. I don't know if that's because I'm a Libra or whatever the fuck, but I'm not a traditional person, but there's some traditions I like. And I'm not the person necessarily I thought I would be at 15 or 16, but and I think sometimes that's where people struggle. Like, you know, in past episodes I've been very opinionated about certain people's actions, especially when it comes to like, you know, identifying as Christians, and I've gotten but I'm still very much a proud Christian, you know, and I struggle with my faith, but like sometimes people like, it's like they don't like, it's like, it's very black and white sometimes. It's like, you're either with us or against us. And it's just like, well, I'm with you, but like, I don't agree with anything kind of thing. And then sometimes it is a challenge to try to marry, no pun intended, like, you know, different belief systems.
You want to know something crazy though about what you just said? That's so interesting. Is, you know how like the extremists are going to be like, it's either black or white. You're either with us or against us. When they push you out of that circle, the rest of us who are pushed out of our circles are all together. Like, hey, we're just a community, and we're all going to be together. Yeah. Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Jewish people. We all love each other because we have an understanding of universal love. You know, and not being like. That's the balance, because in like a lot of, I get a lot of flack in India because my artwork is Hindu centric, you know, it's very like visually Hindu, which is something that I always wanted to do growing up in America, because it was absolutely just not even existent, you know? So that's why I'm hyper Hindu with my visuals, why it's like all like goddesses with crowns and like just this intense stuff. And then I went to India, the place where I thought would be the safest for that, and I get like hit with like Hindu supremacist stuff, which I never expected in my life.
Hindu supremacist?
Wow. Like even what? This tattoo, what? Like I got this recently, and I got it to be a balance between the feminine and the masculine. This is the lotus, which is a symbol of the thousand petal lotus, which is your crown chakra. And the Trishul is the symbol of Shiva. It's like a weapon. So, and it's basically Shiva does this dance. It's called the Tandav. And when he dances, it's either destruction or creation. So when I was on stage, I had this insane show, and people were like, I was headlining for the first time. People were like pouring in. There was like this really crazy like bowl kind of space like out in the middle. It was this big festival. And I just remember the power I felt, and I went and got this tattoo because I was like, okay, from the universe goes through my thousand petaled lotus and turns into a weapon, and then I can just get mofos on stage. People go crazy because in India, this is like the Trishul is a symbol for one Hindu supremacist. Like there's like, if I call them Hindu supremacists, I'm going to get in trouble on the other side. There's two political parties in India that are highly Hindu centric. We'll use the proper words because Indian people will come eat my soul. And the symbol, for one of them, the symbol is this. But these symbols are thousands of years old. They belong to all of us. But I get a lot of crazy flack that they say like, oh, I'm like repping them. Like as if it's basically they're trying to say I'm wearing a MAGA hat is what they're trying to say.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
And you go from being a minority here to being like, now I kind of get that, like what it is to be like how you were saying I'm white Christian and I don't know the box. It's like in India, being a Hindu is like that though, you know? And so you have to be careful and considerate of what's going on with all the minorities there, which is like the Muslim population in some situations. And, you know, there's a large Christian population there that also goes through things, you know? So I bet you didn't know there was Christians in India.
I guess I never thought about it, but if you would have asked me, are there a lot of Christians in India? I would have been like, absolutely.
But you know, I didn't think about it like that. I knew that they were converts because I knew, like I had friends growing up that were named English names like Maxine and stuff like that. And I was like, how did you get that name? And Matthews was the last name. So there's a lot of Christian population in South India because, you know, there was actually Christianity in India before Europe. Because really? It was easier.
You go and dig into that.
You'll find out more about that. But the craziest thing I learned about was the Catholic population, like in Bombay. There's like this whole thing where they love Jesus and Mother Mary. But it's crazy for me because I studied religion. So it's just like, instead of it being Krishna or Shiva or like an Hindu god, it's Jesus. But he has the same garlands that you'd put on an Indian god. And they're still lighting the candles. We all light candles, you know? So it's like, whoa, it's like Hindu Jesus. So I have fun with Hindu Jesus. I love Hindu Jesus. He's like my homie.
Is it because of all the missionaries that?
Sure, yeah.
There's a lot of missionaries, but I'm saying that there's just a culture. Because basically the Portuguese, there's so much. The Portuguese had had colonized that part, Bombay and that area of India. So there was a lot of, there's just this whole like Goan, Konkani. There's a whole like culture of people that they can even, I think if they're grandparents or something, they can still get Portuguese passports. Like that's how serious it is. But that's where a lot of the Catholics come from, is that area. But that was new for me. I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah, there's one thing I've learned about people in general, like regardless of what part of the world you're from, religion you practice, you know, listen, we, especially if we're passionate about anything and we identify with them, you know, even people who are music fans, you know, the Beehive, Taylor Swift fans, you know, like very passionate people. And often that comes from like this place of like, if you find something that inspires you and that you feel like has helped you, you want to protect it. And sometimes, you know, it comes from a good place. Sometimes you react to things and you get defensive about it. But it all comes from a place of like wanting to be liked and wanting to be loved and wanting to be right about your belief systems. And it can hurt when people are critical of what you believe in and you get defensive and then you react and you know, it's kind of the,
you know, how I got around that. And I don't know if you're going to be able to do it because you've already put out your real life face out there, is I made a character. Like Rajkumar is a character. So it's like, no matter what people say, like basically my classical dance, all Indian classical dance is recreating like mythological stories of the gods. So like, you'll be like, you'll be like Radha, or you'll see Krishna, or you'll see all these different characters. So I played very, very powerful goddesses at 6 years old, like demon slayers, like literally slayed demons and like killed demons. You know, it happened. And I made this character based on all the powerful women that I had played.
Wow.
Whenever somebody has something to say about like Rajakumari, I'm just like, fool. You fool. I look down upon you. But then like as a human, I pay attention to the things they say, but I try not to let it hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like I don't, that's the thing. It's for me, you know, I'm probably best known from playing myself on TV. And so yeah, I mean, and especially, I think the podcast has, I just try to be myself. And I think in a positive way, that's allowed people to get to know me on a more intimate level than, say, watching on TV. But I don't really have, like, this is kind of who I am. I don't really have an alter ego. I might be a more heightened version of myself. Like, you know, especially like I'll cover The Bachelor. I'll give commentary or points of views on, you know, cast people. And then, you know, that.
I saw some like news article went by. It was like, yeah. Nick has got his opinion on this character. And I was like, I don't even watch this show, but I'm getting this news. It's like your commentary is like coming through my news feed. I was like, yes.
I mean, like the truth is like on a daily basis, I don't give a shit. Right. But like, if you're going to ask me my point of view as it relates to a topic that we cover, like I've become a pundit as far as the show goes. And
you're allowed to speak.
We all get defensive. I get it, but it is what it is. But yeah, religion's a funny thing. Faith, I don't think you can argue that faith is a beautiful thing. Faith in whatever you believe in is beautiful. But the reality is religion can be both beautiful and it's been toxic and it's been misused and it's been abused. And that is the human element in us. You know, humans do that. Like we as humans don't, we all get it wrong. My favorite thing is, well, my least favorite thing, you know, only God can judge us. And I'm like, great. No, well, that's actually totally not true. We all judge people as humans. Now, God's opinion might be the only one that matters. You know, it might be the only one that matters, but we definitely judge. And the reason why we get defensive about being judged is because it hurts our feelings. We want to be liked. And sometimes I think we get insecure when other people judge us because I think we wonder like, well, what if God thinks the same thing type of thing, right?
Yeah, I never thought of it like that. That's probably why it hurts us,
You know, but listen, it comes from a good place, right? Like it comes from people just wanting to support what they believe in. And we invest a lot as humans in our belief systems because it gives us a sense of purpose. It sometimes goes back to our first memories. Our first bonding experience with our parents is often religion, you know? And that's just,
I think like religion, I think religion has become such an interesting word in our current state. Like if I say spirituality, people don't get triggered. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, I could tell you like, okay, those that are spiritual will feel this way. But if you talk about religion, then you talk about the rules and the dogmas and the fights. And all of a sudden it's Hindu versus Muslim. And it's all of a sudden all these things, which is like so troubling. I used to say, when I was a kid, I used to be like, you know, I feel like religions are like languages of love. Like if I spoke Spanish, would you hate me? But so how can God hate me for speaking a language that was culturally taught to me because of the area I grew up in? You know, and I wrote this song when I was like 18. And it's actually the first song I wrote that I was like, oh, I think I'm supposed to make music because people don't just write things like this. Like, it's called Salvation. And the lyrics are, if you want salvation, why segregation over divine inspirations? Revelations are just the words. God answers every prayer heard. So it's more like, instead of like killing yourself over like what's in the book, make yourself a reflection of God by being godly, by being nice to people, by being giving, by positive energy. And then God will hear your prayers and they'll be answered. Instead of fighting each other, being like, you're singing this language and I'm singing this language. That's me hoping the best for the world. You know, that's what I try to put out there. But
totally. Yeah. And like I said, only God can judge us. I think we're just, listen, especially if you believe in an afterlife, it's a scary proposition. You're hoping that whatever you're doing is right and you have this human elements to you. And, you know, people, humans will fight back and forth about who's more right. Meanwhile, God's up there being like, I'll let you know when you die, you know?
I will be here. I'm keeping track. I will be here to give you your. Yeah. I will be with Anubis, and we will weigh that heart. We will find out.
It's like I'm God. I already know. You're not convincing me. I know. But like, you know, as humans, we just want to be heard and we want to be right. And I think we just get, it's fear. It's fear of being wrong, fear of being judged by others. It's so people, you know, that's the thing. We do judge each other. It's very human in us to judge people.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's crazy because I'm like, we're talking about these things and I'm like, I'm not trying to plug my music over and over again, but you keep saying stuff that I'm like, wait, I wrote a lyric about this. But you know, in the song NRI, there's this part of it where I'm singing and I was like, do you even know who you are? Tell me, what are you made of? What you afraid of, hater? Cause I let you tear me apart. Show you what I am made of. Is this what you're afraid of, hater? And it's like, dude, I let you fucking tear me apart. And at the end, I'm still there. So did your hate matter? You know, and who are you? And you're mad at me for using Indianness as a gimmick or putting it on. I'm like, bro, what are you doing for the culture?
You know? No, I know it's tough, but also I do think there's a difference between criticism and hate, right? I think, and sometimes people get very, very confused between the two.
No, the 100% is criticism and hate. Hate is like, you know, you're fat buffalo, and criticism is like, hey, the second verse could have been better, and you're like, noted, thank you.
No, or it's just like, I don't agree with this, and like I'm I still love you, like, and I want to, and I would love to talk to you, but you know, hate is just like, you're not willing to listen and you're not willing to talk. You just want to attack.
I try not to give them value, but for some reason I always see them. I'm like, how did I, like, I was be live streaming and like I'll be like performing and I see like one comment, it's like, you suck. I'm like, how did I catch that one comment? Like, there's so many people being like, you are my god, you are everything to me, and it's like, you suck, buffalo. I'm like, whoa, when did I turn to a buffalo? Damn, homie.
You know, but again, it's we're protective of our own, and if our, you know, whatever that is, it's the sometimes misplaced loyalty, and it comes from a place of love. We just sometimes our love, it gets mischanneled, and we just have to try to remember that and be open to it. And so I don't know.
That's the goal. That is the goal of life.
That is the goal. This has been a very fascinating conversation. I feel like we will continue.
Can I do this again? We can just do this on FaceTime, just like as homies too. You know, we can do this anytime.
You know, rip a. You know, anyways. Rochelle, you guys said you have a question.
Well, I just think it's so. I'm fascinated by women who succeed in fields where. Not that music is male dominated, but it feels run by men a lot of the times. And I know you just signed with Nas, and I just watched Taylor Swift's documentary. It was so interesting. I don't know if you saw it, but
I've seen half of it. I'm going to complete it. You just reminded me to go.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I can see her pain. Definitely. I understand it.
What's it like, you know, working with men and still making sure your voice is heard? And
you know, I've been really lucky, I want to say. And I said that earlier, that like somehow I've remained unscathed. Like nobody has put me in a position that like propositioning me or you know, acting like they wouldn't help me unless, you know, something was given, which I know is the situation for a majority of people. Like a lot of people deal with that. I think when I walk in a room, I just have create a vibration that does not allow someone to come with that shit to me. You know?
Dang, yeah.
There's just this beacon. But like, you know, the people that I've worked with that have taught me the most are the legends. Like I got to sit in the room with Timbaland. You know, he taught me about like sticking to your instinct, and when you freestyle a melody and the vowel is even sounding like an O, don't try to write a word that doesn't have an O in it. Like, he made me trust myself so intensely that like everything I do is right. It's like, that's what I learned from Timbaland.
Nice.
You know, like people like Nas, like just watching Nas listen to my album and just be like, do you know that I was listening to your album in my room alone and no one loved hip hop in my family, and it was just me and your album, and it was just me and you in that room, and now you are here helping me give my music to the world. So there's been, it's difficult with a male dominated situation. Whereas like, you know, I get on festival, like what pre-corona, I'd get on festival, bills and be the only female.
Yeah.
I would say stuff on stage. I'd be like, I cannot be the only female. If you are in the audience and you make music, the world needs you. Make music. We need more female rappers. We need more female musicians. So I think it's just like, it can be a challenge, but it can also be a treat because I am probably one of the only female rappers in India, like kind of on that level. So no matter what, I don't have to compete with them. So it can be a man's world, but I want to be a woman in it. Marilyn Monroe.
Well, that's great. And it's awesome that you're doing what you're doing. And again, the ripple effect of what you're doing, you know, years down the road, I have no doubt you'll have your footprint on a lot of people's success. And that's got to be a fascinating and cool thing to think about.
Yeah. I mean, I know that if an artist even represented India even a tiny bit when I was a kid, what that would have meant to me. So I know there's going to be some just incredible musicians that it's one of my dreams, and I've said it a lot of times. Obviously, I would love to win a Grammy in my life. I mean, that's something I have on my list, but I would love to see somebody come out of India and win a Grammy. Like a kid born in India that made music, that was able to compete with the entire world and sweep the world. I would hope to be a part of that project and be a part of their career and help that happen in the future. That would make me really happy. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, this has been really great. I've really enjoyed it. And before we let you go, we're going to do our last thing we do with all our guests called play a little game called Do You Know Me? Real simple, Raja. We're going to ask you some questions. They're real basic. Rochelle picked them out. Just a heads up there.
Yeah, I'm and don't feel like you questions. Have to. You don't have to answer if it's too weird.
I have no filter, so let's go. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it's great. Don't answer right away. Rochelle and I are going to guess, basically, the idea. Yeah. Right. And then, you know,
it's good you told me that.
If there's an anecdotal story you want to add to it, feel free.
Okay. Let's go.
Do you know me with Raja Kumari? First question. Does Raja have Bumble on her phone? Does Raja have Bumble on her phone currently? She definitely has. She's tried in Bumble. She's been on it.
But don't you think she's on that fancy one you're on? What's it called again?
Raya.
Raya. Raja's on Raya.
Not on Raya yet. But if you're on Raya, maybe I should get on Raya. My friend's on Raya.
I'm gonna say yeah.
Bumble.
Yeah, she has Bumble on her. Yeah, she has it.
I don't think she likes Bumble because honestly, I don't like it either. I think she's got Tinder on her phone, not Bumble.
Oof, I don't have Tinder.
No?
Oh, man, I got Bumble for sure.
She's swiping right now.
I just went to it, and I was like, throw these boys away. I just like to, that's really fucked up, but I like to be like, go away, because they do that to us. So I'm like, no way. Ew, ew, ew. Ew. It's kind of a game. I don't even know if I'll talk to them, but, you know.
Okay.
Next question. Does Raja own a jewel? Yeah.
I think no, she's got to protect those pipes. Her parents would not approve.
Parents would not approve, yes. I do not own a jewel, but I do inhale other vapors. Not vapors, but they're more natural and they grow from the earth. And they're very prevalent in California and India.
I smoke weed too. It's fine.
I've had to tell my parents, like, this is messed up. I'm sure somebody will hear this, but I have been caught like many times. And like, now that it's like legal, it's like a lot easier because I'll be like, Dad, I can't even get in trouble. So now I basically told them that if they accept that sometimes I smoke a joint, that I have nothing in life to hide from them.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's just culturally just not as socially acceptable. I find it to be a lot less damaging to your body than alcohol, but like.
But they're, I mean, they wouldn't want me to like, I mean, I just keep trying to prime them because eventually I'm going to drop Kumari Kush. So I'm just like trying to get them cool.
Oh,
with it.
Damn.
Well, let me know when you do.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be on the tasting list.
Has Raja ever been waxed? Sure. Yeah. You're a performer. You know, someone's like waxed some part of your body.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah. My friends got mad at me because they're like, you should have got laser. But I'm like dying right now because it's sad. Sad life.
Because you can't go get your, can't get waxed right now?
Can't get the thang waxed, you know? The thang.
Oh, the thang. Yeah. Letting her run free, huh?
It's okay. It's all right. Life's going to be okay.
Last Last question. Can Raja name three Shakespearean plays?
Can I?
Of course. A freaking,
I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet, Caesar, and Othello.
Damn, that was quick.
When I was a kid, I used to know like the Mark Anthony's eulogy for Caesar.
Oh, cool.
I bet you if I get the first two lines or something, it'll come out of the back of my head, but I can't remember it right now. But I used to recite it.
All right. Well, thank you for playing Do You Know Me?
Do you feel like you are just really into because you talk about the mythology in your dancing? Are you really into story and myth? And
I like ancient history. I think my last birth was sometime during the seeding of this world, when the megaliths were being formed. So I feel that I'm back again to put the same energy back on Earth that was there at that time. That's my goal, and so. Some people might resonate with that, and some people may still have some more things to figure out in their life till they can resonate with that.
There you go. I really loved having you on, Raja. It's been a real pleasure and a ton of fun. Where can people find you on social? Where can they listen to your music?
Everywhere. Raja Kumari. Raja like the tiger from Aladdin. Kumari like Harold and Kumar with an I at the end. You got it. You can figure it out. Right.
And then you're on Spotify.
Spotify, Apple, Sovn, Wink Ghana. There's stuff you don't even know about. I'm on Hungama, all kinds of Indian things. But yeah, everywhere on The Raja Kumari, on Instagram, Facebook.
And you're doing a virtual tour?
Yeah, end of my world wide web tour. And it's been, I got like a few more days on it, but it's been amazing because it's been cool to connect with people from actual different like countries, like the interviewer and then like the timing and the fans and stuff. So it's, I guess the best way to do press right now, but I'm wondering when we go back to the world, if anyone's going to be able to get me out of my house to do anything. Cause I'll be like, I'll zoom in. I don't have to wear pants. I'll do this interview. Yeah.
Now, there's definitely going to be an adjustment with how we do things.
And when we come back to life. I know we're all going to be like, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, this has been absolutely awesome. I really enjoyed it. You're doing great things, and I wish you nothing but future success. And I am really excited to see you blow up even more than you are. And it's been a ton of fun. And thank you for being such an inspiration and a melting pot for all different cultures. And definitely think it's a way of thinking that people should, try to adapt even more. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you for having me. And make sure everybody streams NRI if you want to learn more about the duality of two cultures. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, and as always, we thank you for listening, the listeners. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes if you want. Always trying to make sure we're getting those reviews. It means a lot, obviously, and those people who plug us on their social, always great. So thank you for doing that. Don't forget to send your questions at asknick@castme.com for our Ask Nick episodes. And other than that, we will see you on Monday.